The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. And if you are listening to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, it's Friday, April 16th. If you're watching us live on YouTube, it is Thursday, April 15th. Taxes are not due today because the IRS did extension. I hope. I think. Somebody told me that. I'm just buying it. Joining me to break down a mailbag, the man, the myth, Ryan Wilson, and of course, the cat, the killer, John Breach. Wilson, before you say, hey, 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 I have a question for you.
I'm just stopping by to
say. It was actually wasn't a question. I just wanted an excuse to play like. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Wilson, stupidest football analyst in the history of the earth.
This is still my favorite thing 1 week later. The hashtag fire Ryan Wilson TikTok discussion is live and hot. How do you feel about it 1 week into your TikTok celebrity exploding?
I do find it ironic that the actual stupidest NFL analyst on the planet was playing the clip of me being called the stupidest NFL analyst on the planet. So I take some.
Two sound drops and a hold of the computer up to the microphone, TikTok.
I think the funniest thing here is that Wilson literally had never been on TikTok. And then since last week, he's like TikTok's number one user because he's going down, writing down names, taking numbers, taking, usernames. I'm going to get those guys who started that fire Ryan Wilson hashtag.
That's not entirely true, but Breach actually did show us a link before we started podcasting. Of all the haters out there, and the average age might be like 11 and a half. So I can't even like, I can't fight back. I can't say it. You just got to be all right. Go crazy, young fella.
I had some discussion with them about doing a home and home podcast. We'll see what we can do. I don't know.
By the way, off the top, I have the first mailbag question.
And oh, okay.
I think it's a great one and it's sheer idiocy.
Okay.
Breach and or Brinson, would you rather be a pen or a pencil? I don't know. I don't think Brinson gets it, but you can answer the question and we'll explain the details behind the question in a second.
It's a great icebreaker.
No, it's not.
Well, is there some deeper psychological explanation?
Maybe there is. Brinson, why don't you just answer the question?
Yeah, I mean, you can't
answer a question with a question.
I want to be a pen specifically. I want to be, I have a nice ballpoint pen that I usually have around here, but I can't find. I want to be a pen because you know what? I don't worry about making mistakes. I just scratch it out when something's screwed up and I keep on rolling. Also, erasers, annoying, and the sound of a pencil, terrible. And very, you got to sharpen a pencil constantly. You don't have to sharpen a pen.
Wait, before you answer.
Yes, obviously the answer is a pencil so you can fix your mistakes.
No, not just that, but you can break me in half the pencil and I still work. Now you have two of me and you can sharpen both edges and write with both hands. Of course I'm going to be a pencil.
And Breach, more importantly,
I think one of us is a serial killer and not me.
Breach has two weapons. But Breach, tell him why I asked you that stupid question.
So B-Mac and Patrick Peterson obviously talking on their podcast. And
what's the name of the podcast, Breach?
All Things Covered.
Oh, he had to look it up real quick.
I didn't have to look up anything. I know the name of the podcast. And P Twice is telling the story about the weirdest questions he ever got at the Combine. And he goes, of course, the weirdest one he's ever gotten came from.
Don't tell him who. He can guess who, but go ahead and tell the story.
Okay, so he said the weirdest question ever was he got asked if he would rather be a pen or a pencil.
Now, if you had to guess of the 32 teams, Brinson, which team would have asked him that question?
Whichever one was employing Jeff Ireland? I don't know. The Bengals, obviously.
Yeah.
I saw Breach tweeting about it. Yeah. By the way, also on this show, we will
open up my Top Shot pack that I'm about to purchase, a Cool Cats pack.
You know, and that will be the last 2 minutes of the show. Wilson and I will have checked out by then. It'll just be just Brinson, showing you guys his Top Shot.
So, do not stick around for that. And don't turn off the podcast yet because we will not stand for this. What is the line in, Big Lebowski? We will not stand for this, man. What is it? Tyranny? Anyway, we're not standing for it.
Well, I think the funniest thing is that we're going to get the engagement numbers for this episode, and it's going to skyrocket at the end of the podcast when Brinson opens his Top Shot, and then we're just going to have podcasts going forward of Brinson opening Top Shot packs.
Top Shot packs I purchased. I've got it in my collection, and it's doing the little thing. It's just
saying, Top Shot
saying, pack. Do you want to open it? Do you want to open it? We'll wait on opening it. Anyway, let's get to the mailbag. But first, I should point out, in the feed, as of this moment, five quarterback prospect profile podcast. Ooh, that was fun. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. We previewed all guys, dove into the specifics of them, their strengths, their weaknesses, their ceilings, their floors, both in a prospect comp or an NFL comparison sense, and in terms of where they might end up going drafted. Much appreciated Josh Edwards, Ryan Wilson, Chris Trapasso, Emery Hunt, and the great Tom Fornelli jumped on to talk about it. Tom's discussion is actually how we ended up, I ended up getting on this conspiracy theory that the 49ers smokescreened, for Justin Fields, which we can talk about in a minute. But on Monday, Mock Draft Monday 10.0 with Ryan Wilson, plus more prospect rankings, different positions, next week should be exciting. As a reminder, if you're not already watching us on YouTube, you can do so. YouTube.com/pick6. You get Pick 6 episodes before the podcast drops. And if you have a smart TV, I actually do this all the time. Like I'll watch, like Rick Gaiman does, he does stuff for Rick Rungood, obviously for CBS Sports 2, the First Cut. I watch, golf DFS stuff from him on YouTube. Like it's nice if there's something that's, you know, like you want to consume a podcast, but you don't feel like sitting there with your phone blasting in the living room, fire it up and watch our, beautiful mugs on your TV. Gregory Rousseau, a name you'll be hearing from Sundays next fall. But why wait till next fall to hear him? You can hear him now. The projected first round pick was on this week's episode of All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. The Miami product details his relationship with fellow Hurricane and fellow super tall defensive lineman Calais Campbell and shares that three teams in the NFC East have expressed heavy interest in him. For the entire conversation, follow All Things Covered wherever you find this podcast. Okay. At the risk of potentially dating our content, I would like to very quickly ask you, Ryan Wilson, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bat bleep crazy is, have you heard my full conspiracy theory about the 49ers?
Not this one. I've heard a lot of other ones, but go ahead.
Okay. So here's my theory that I'm operating on, and I am encouraging people to bet on Justin Fields, third overall pick, +250. And the over Mac Jones draft position, 3.5 +150 or thereabouts, maybe higher or lower, depending on what your book is. And the reason I'm doing this is that I have decided when the 49ers are drafting Justin Fields at 3, the reason when they made the huge trade the other day, the reason why the Mac Jones buzz came out immediately, like everybody, Chris Sims, Daniel Jeremiah, Adam Schefter, Rap Sheet, Lock and Four, everybody's like, it's for Mac Jones. It's obviously for Mac Jones. It's not for Mac Jones. That was an elaborate smokescreen from Kyle Shanahan to throw the Jets off his scent because everybody who works for the Jets used to work for the 49ers, including Mike LaFleur, their offensive coordinator, who's been working with Kyle Shanahan since 2014. Kyle Shanahan knew 5 weeks out from the draft, if he jumped up and everybody was like, oh, it's for Justin Fields, the Jets would do their due diligence on Justin Fields and would consider Justin Fields at number 2. At this point, though, they're too locked into Zach Wilson, and I think next week we'll start hearing buzz about the 49ers taking Justin Fields third overall. It'll be too late for the Jets to reverse course, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will have created an elaborate smokescreen to throw people off the scent and convince them that Mac Jones was the guy at number 3, but it was Justin Fields all along. Your thoughts?
I don't hate it, but I don't know. Why is next week too late for the Jets to change their mind?
They're too committed. They're in on Zach Wilson. You can't, like,
why?
I don't even know if they send anybody. Do they even send anybody to Justin Fields' second pro day?
Do you need to? Yeah, you don't need to. You can still draft a guy.
You can do whatever the hell you want. Yeah, Joe Douglas could take Justin Fields at two. I don't think that's even that crazy, but
I think you're 9 steps into the 10-step process, but the 10th step is they can certainly change their minds at the last minute.
Of course they can, but they have sold themselves on Zach Wilson. They have gone to ownership and said, Zach Wilson is our guy. If you then go to Woody Johnson or Chris Johnson, you're like, hey, you know what? Kyle deked us a couple weeks ago. We're worried that Justin Fields might be the guy. What does it, like, that's, you can't do that.
Well, we don't know that they went to ownership. Sometimes ownership, especially with the Jets, they have been the ones
I would disagree. I think you have to go to ownership to trade Sam Darnold. Well,
my point is this. Like, Woody Johnson could be the one pulling the strings as the puppet master, because that ownership situation, as we know, is not stable. So he may be the one dictating what happens. That's all I'm saying.
What if Urban Meyer is taking Justin Fields 1 overall?
Well, I heard that that Justin Fields, what's his face? Trevor Lawrence has a playbook already, so that would be really weird.
Wait, whoa. What, did you hear that on Twitter, or did you hear that?
Where did I hear that? I don't, maybe one of the radio spots.
Been doing Zoom calls with the Jaguars coaching staff. So,
and that,
cause that would definitely be against the NFL rules.
So I'll tell you this, Brinson, and I haven't told you.
What's that? Like, if, Trevor Lawrence just finds a playbook out on the street.
Not against NFL rules.
That's against the NFL rules.
Yeah, who cares? That's fine. That's right. But I will tell you this, Brinson. I was talking to a league source recently, and they think, and this is the first time I've heard this, that Justin Fields is going 3.
Let's go! Let's go!
You know who else thinks Justin Fields is going 3?
Reach.
Joe Thomas.
So I don't think, I mean, at this point, I don't think
anyone. Joe Thomas, for those that don't know, coached by Kyle Shanahan, also boys with Alex Mack, who just re-signed.
So you would think just having spent an entire season with Shanahan, he'd have an idea of what kind of quarterback Shanahan might be looking for.
Yeah, but I mean, using that logic, Chris Sims is really tight with Kyle Shanahan. He said Mac Jones. Like, no one knows. That's at the end of the day. No one knows.
No, I mean, look, I have talked myself into.
I like the Justin Fields angle. I love Justin Fields. I think he has been unceremoniously crapped upon by the media. Like, the NFL teams know what he is and like him for what he's good at. But, you know, I say it all the time. If the draft were February 15th, we wouldn't have time to be picking these kids apart.
Drew as Hirsch noted in the YouTube chat, you can join us, and chat live with us. Debo finally allowed me to see comments again. Fields is closer to Lawrence than any other QB is to Fields. And this is where I would point back to and really encourage everybody to go listen to the conversation that Tom Finelli and I had on the Justin Fields quarterback prospect profile podcast, which is in the feed. It's in the feed. It's, Tom and I sort of like it's, because I think when we get into this process and we start getting closer to the draft, it's so easy to push guys up the draft board and to sort of drift away from what was obvious the entire season long. And what was obvious the entire season long is that Justin Fields is freaking good, you know? And I think that I would probably take Justin Fields 2 overall. And I'm not even like a huge Justin Fields guy. I am now. I'm in Justin Fields' corner again.
You are the quintessential example of just being the last thing you hear is what you're locking in on. Like, Fornelli got in your ear, and Fornelli, I listened to part of that. I mean, I understand what he's saying. I don't disagree with much of it. And I've said all along, like, Justin Fields was coming back for another year, he'd be Trevor Lawrence in 2022. He's played a year and a half. Trevor Lawrence played his first 2 seasons and his sophomore year for the first half. He sucked. And, you know, I thought that Justin Fields was actually better in year 2 than Trevor Lawrence was. So I think he's going to be really good. I just think that, you know, depending on what you're looking for among these teams picking at the top of the draft, and I think all these guys are going to be gone, these top 4 guys anyway, by pick 5. I mean, I don't think Breach's Bengals ain't trading down, I don't think.
I think that's certainly possible. And that's, you know, that's what's going to make this draft really interesting too, is that Atlanta at 4.
I don't think they're taking a quarterback.
I don't think so either.
I think they trade down. If they do trade down, someone will come up and get Justin Fields, obviously, or Mac Jones or whoever's left.
I agree with that. I think the only problem with that is Carolina was willing to move up there. Atlanta said no dice.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, listen, we're not, yeah, no offense, you know, Panther people, but Yeah, we're the Falcons, and Terry Fontenot just came for the Saints. Like he's not handing the Panthers a free shot at a franchise quarterback. So that's why they went out and got Sam Darnold. And then I sort of wonder if the Falcons don't think that trading to 15 and 19, which, or 9 is doable with the Broncos maybe, but 15 and 19 feels like a little bit further than you'd like to go, at least relative to what those Washington and New England would pay for the price.
Well, they'd have to pay a premium. They'd have to pay a San Francisco type premium. And
exactly.
For the Broncos at number 9, I think I'm off. I was on and off and off. I think I'm off them taking a quarterback. GLC reported that they like Teddy Bridgewater. That's a possible destination. So if that happens, you're not going to have Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, and draft a quarterback at 9 or move up for 1. So I think maybe they're in the trade down market or staying put and taking a defensive player.
If you're Denver and you stay put, there's always that chance that a quarterback falls in your lap because it might be too steep for some of these teams to trade up to 4 with Atlanta. So, I mean, we all agree that Atlanta could stick at 4, make their pick. The Bengals stick at 5, make their pick. I don't think we'll see the Dolphins trade again. So all of a sudden, if you get to pick 6, the Dolphins don't trade with anyone.
Good plug there.
Nah. And now then you're at pick 7.
Terrible podcast.
You're at pick 7. And so you're the Broncos and you're like, all right, there's only been 3 quarterbacks taken. There's still 2 guys we like. We know Detroit's not going to take one and we know Carolina probably isn't going to take one. So I actually think the Broncos are in a pretty good spot. But like you guys said, the price is so steep for a team like New England to move up that far that the only team that really makes sense to move up in the top 10 is probably Denver.
Yeah. But if they have Teddy B, Andrew Luck, you're not drafting a quarterback, are you?
Well, I got you. No. If they trade for Teddy Bridgewater and Teddy's going to have to take a pay cut for that to happen, I believe, then I would rule the Broncos out of taking a quarterback.
I don't think they would trade for Teddy before the draft because would you rather have Teddy at, you know, however many millions, or you have a guy in a rookie contract that could maybe be Trey Lance, or maybe it's Mac Jones if he falls into your, you're like, there are quarterbacks you could land on a rookie deal and you're going to want that over Bridgewater.
And the Panthers traded 2022 draft picks for Sam Darnold. So I think they'll be fine making a Teddy deal after the draft and just getting a 2022, like third rounder or fifth rounder or whatever.
Here, have your finger hovered over the dunk button. This from Jason Lock on 4 on April 14th. Would be very surprised if Teddy Bridgewater is not in Denver by draft weekend.
Oh, ho, ho! Up high! Down!
Take that breach.
All right, so we're going to answer, just point out 2 more questions in the chat real quick, and then we'll get into the actual mailbag. Sorry in advance, Debo. But George Maddox says, divisions matter less now with the 17th game. Maybe the Falcons should have traded even with the Panthers. I agree with that to a certain extent. Like, I actually think there's a compelling case to be made that you should trade in your own division, because if you take assets, like if you're giving somebody in your own division, like an asset that you don't want, or that like you're willing to give up, maybe it's not that great an asset in the first place. As you're thinking about players, maybe you're trading Sam Darnold or something like that. More importantly, if you trade with the Panthers and you take a Panthers future first round pick, like you're hurting your opponent in your division. So, I mean, I think there's a case to be made that it cuts both ways. However, if you trade with the Panthers at 4 and they come up and get Justin Fields, he's going to come at you twice a year, like with a vengeance like that. I mean, you know, that's a slap in the face to a guy like that. And so I don't want to have to play a guy that I could have drafted twice a year or risk the possibility that the fan base or the owner is outraged at the fact that we passed up on a guy who beats our ass twice a year.
Yeah, but I mean, he could also, you just don't know that the quarterback situation. So you just have no idea how these guys are going to turn out.
For sure. Like, if he's a bust, it's a huge win for you.
If he had to put $1,000 on one of these 5 quarterbacks, well, be successful 3 years from now, like who you betting on?
Well, Trevor Lawrence.
But he's going to Jacksonville. Jacksonville historically has not been great at, you know, who knows what this is going to look like.
Fair point.
Like, I have no idea. Like,
imagine telling somebody that it's in 2014 that Andrew Luck will have been out of the league for 2, you know what I mean? Like right. 2 out of the, or, you know, like you said the other day, Wilson, you know, imagine telling somebody in 2017 that Carson Wentz is playing for the Colts in 2021.
I mean, it's Doug Peterson's fired. All right. One last question.
And Andy Dalton plays for the Bears.
One last question. Ali S says, so there is no chance Carolina takes a quarterback if one is there at 8. I think there is a chance the Panthers can take a quarterback at 8. Will they look stupid for trading for Sam Darnold if they take a quarterback at 8? Yes. Yes, they will. Would
That's
they?
The thing.
Have they picked up Sam Darnold's fifth-year option yet? No. No, they haven't, which is at least interesting. And so
I think that's more as a, hey, guys, we're thinking about taking a quarterback at 8. You call us if you want to trade up, just in case we change our minds.
It might be. I think if Justin Fields is there at 8, they'll take him.
Here, the funny thing is that fifth-year option deadline is the Monday after the draft, which is, like, perfect for Carolina because you can sit there and be like, all right, say you love Trey Lance or Justin Fields, whoever it is. If you have this one quarterback you love and they're there at 8, yeah, you take them. And if they're not, then you just take another guy, and you know, Darnold's your quarterback. So you're kind of in a win-win situation. You can never have too many quarterbacks. And, you know, Darnold's on his rookie deal playing that fourth year. The new guy would be on his rookie deal. So it's not like it's that expensive. Yeah, I don't think it'd be that crazy for the Panthers to take a quarterback.
But my only thing, here's my conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
Matt Rhule and the coaching staff, exactly, was in the Senior Bowl. They saw Mac Jones up close and personal. Once the 49ers moved up to 3, and they knew they couldn't get to 4 anyway because we just talked about the Falcons being there, they said, okay, there's no way we're getting Mac Jones if that's who the 49ers want. So let's go to plan B, Sam Darnold. So it doesn't matter, I think, if someone else not named Mac Jones is there. Again, that's my conspiracy theory. And one last thing, because we, you know, there's two teams on the social media nets. Either your team, Mac Jones, or team, Justin Fields.
I love it.
I'm on both teams. But let me ask you guys this. So Mac Jones obviously is an old school quote unquote quarterback. So, and Justin Fields is more of what we see last 5, 6, 7 years in terms of what the quarterback position is turning into. So let's say best case scenario for both of these guys moving forward from 2021 to 2031. Would you rather have Peyton Manning as Mac Jones, or would you rather have Patrick Mahomes as Justin Fields on your roster for the next 10 years? I'm just saying that those are the paths that I'm putting them in as best case scenario if they turn out to be 10 out of 10 Hall of Fame type players. So who would you rather have?
I mean, Patrick Mahomes.
Breach, would you rather have Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes? At their prime, obviously, from age 22 to 32.
That's a really tough question because you know the entirety of Peyton Manning's career.
But well, you know that Patrick Mahomes ain't falling off a cliff. He's going to be better.
Could get injured. Happen.
Just assume he gets incrementally better each year.
He won a Super Bowl in his second season as a starter. And he was a D4 at offsides away from being in a 3 straight.
My point is that it's not a slam dunk. You can sort of make the case for either one. They're completely different type players, one in different ways. And I think that maybe that's perhaps the lens we should view quarterbacks who have different styles instead of just saying, you know, one guy sucks and the other guy sucks, or one guy you love and the other guy.
Someone in the chat asked, excuse me, are y'all accepting questions in the live show? Yes, we're not going to do the whole mailbag as a live show, but if you have a good question, we will add it to the mailbag. Debo, he has a good one right below that. We don't have to answer it right now. We'll get into the mailbag questions, but let's cue it up for a little bit later about who players. This is a good one. Let's save that one. Mailbag. Oh, Breach.
Mailbag.
He just stole it.
It's okay.
Good job. Give Tua a chance. This is from Rolly at Curry via Apple Podcast. Hey guys, love the pod, been a daily listener for 3 years now. My question is, thank you for listening. Appreciate the loyalty. My question is, why does it seem like most people are ready to give up on Tua already? It's certainly fair to say his rookie season was underwhelming, but we can't forget about the circumstances surrounding it. Pandemic season, no offseason, no OTAs or preseason, all while rehabbing a career-threatening injury. Not to mention the Dolphins weren't exactly stacked with weapons last season. At one point, Jakeem Grant and Isaiah Ford were his top two options. Josh Allen's rookie season was worse, but there weren't nearly as many takes saying the Bills should give up on him. Even Deshaun Watson trade rumors aside, it doesn't seem like many are giving Tua a fair shot to succeed.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. And I think part of that is rubbed off on Mac Jones being considered something of a slouch because he comes from the same program, thrown to the same players, protected by the same offensive linemen with the same arm issues and the, I don't say lack of mobility, but not considered a Josh Allen or a Kyler Murray or a Lamar Jackson. I get all that. So, but here's the thing. It's got to start happening this year. And we all agreed during the course of the season that Ryan Fitzpatrick should have been the starter throughout. There was no reason to push Tua out there if he wasn't ready because of the hip or just because he wasn't ready to play as a rookie. And that happens. We're in an age where these rookies, you feel like you have to play them if they're top 10, top 15 picks. And sometimes it goes horribly wrong, Dwayne Haskins. Sometimes you're left wondering, okay, what needs to be fixed and can you fix it? And that's sort of where Tua is, I feel like. But, you know, they can take Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase at number 5. then get a running back in the second round. They have a ton of picks coming up. So you can surround him with players. And then I think at that point, you expect to see some real progress. And if you have Josh Allen like progress in year two, and Josh Allen was still an unfinished product in year two and things came together in year three, I think that's a step in the right direction. But he has to do a lot of things a lot better than we saw last year. I don't know if he can do them in year two, but that's the direction you want to be moving when you draft a guy fifth overall, sixth overall, wherever he went.
Fifth overall. Herbert was sixth overall.
Well, and I think one of the problems with Tua, and, you know, because I think the question asking about why didn't Josh Allen get panned as much for his bad rookie season, I think part of it is that Josh Allen didn't get outplayed by a 38-year-old journeyman quarterback. So that plays into it because you're watching this guy who's supposed to be the savior of your franchise, Tua, and he can't even outplay Ryan Fitzpatrick. And this is the thing. You're in a situation where all things are equal. You're watching two guys run the same exact offense, and one of the guys is just passes the eye test way better than the other guy. I mean, there was no one who thought that Tua played better than Ryan Fitzpatrick last season. So you're talking about the guy who's supposed to save your franchise, and he can't even outplay, you know, this guy who's played for like 20 NFL teams. That's a problem. So, you know, if I'm a Dolphins fan, or just looking around and seeing the national perspective on Tua, there's a reason people are down on him. And we saw other rookies who did thrive, like Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. So there is this.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Burrow played well before he got injured.
I think you're being a little unfair to Tua because Ryan Fitzpatrick's not bad, number one. And number two, it was mentioned by Royal at Curry, I think his name is, that he had the serious hip injury. There was no idea whether he was.
No, I don't disagree with that. But I think, you said it, Ryan. Well, they should have been playing Tua because if you make it so that if you're having success with one quarterback and that quarterback gets benched and you put the second guy in and he's not as good, everyone's wondering, why aren't you playing the better guy? So that worked against Tua. It's like the Dolphins were trying to build some sort of storyline of people thinking that he's not good. So.
Well, I think it's not even like that they were playing Fitzpatrick. It's that they were yanking Tua out in the middle of games. Yeah. I mean, that is a, when you're
situation.
Yeah. When you're like, all right, we need to win this game. Let's get the young quarterback we just spent a top five pick on out of the game for this old grizzled, like bearded freak show. And like, who like throws, you know, I mean, whatever Fitz does, I mean, he's a lunatic, but I think that undermines Tua, like to the fan base and to, you know, to his teammates. And Ryan Fitzpatrick can say all the nice things he wants about it. The Herbert thing is key too. I almost feel like because of the Fitz stuff where they're yanking it back and forth and because Herbert looked like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, like, I don't know what you think Justin Herbert looked like, but he was incredible last year. Mm-hmm. Because of those factors, and then when Deshaun Watson is available for trade, and Dolphins fans were just ready to move on from Tua. And so I think it's not so much that everybody's given up on Tua, it's that, like, Dolphins fans are sort of...
Wait, what does that mean, they're ready to move on from Tua? Dolphins fans are?
They were all like, let's get rid of Tua and get Deshaun in here before all that loss.
Oh, well, that's okay. Deshaun, yeah.
I just think the message they got from the coaching staff, like the fan base, and then the opportunity to go get Watson and swap Tua for him, and it felt like a done deal almost just because of the assets the Dolphins had. I think all of that has sort of led to this very loud drumbeat of Tua stinks.
So what does Tua have to do next year? Like, does he have to have a Josh Allen type year two?
No.
Year two, not year three. Josh Allen was still.
I think he needs Justin Herbert to play worse. What do you do? Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, he needs to go out there and not look lost on offense. And
who has a better season, Tua or Mac Jones? In 2021.
Ooh, that's a spicy question. Depends on where Mac Jones goes.
I think it's Mac Jones.
If Mac Jones goes to the 49ers, it's, well, Mac Jones, I mean, in theory, Jimmy G is starting, so.
Yeah, assuming that.
Yeah, so if he doesn't throw a pass, that he's going to be better than Tua.
Yikes.
Ouch. Next mailbag question. The 72 Dolphins of NFL podcast, the best there ever was, from Josh Bretzing via Apple Podcast. I love this pod. All caps. Wow. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Josh. You're the man. I listen to it on the way to work every day. It's actually made me look forward to going to work, which I still can't believe. Put that on the back of the book jacket. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. If you could put any two teams from the Super Bowl era into the next Super Bowl, which two would each of the super friends choose? My pick would be the 2020 Bucks against the 2007 Pats. It would be fun to see older Brady go against his younger, less experienced, but probably more talented self. That's a great question.
So any two teams, they don't have to necessarily play in the Super Bowl though, right? Is that what I'm reading that correctly?
Or did
that
any two teams.
In the Super Bowl era, you can pick any two teams to play in the next Super Bowl. So you could pick the Super Bowl I Packers, or you could pick some team from that first season. Doesn't even have to be the Packers. Team in the Super Bowl era, Ryan.
I'm going with the winless Lions versus the Hugh Jackson winless Browns. I want to see how that works.
Sick. I would watch that.
I want to see what excuse Hugh Jackson has for losing that game. Like, who's he going to blame for that?
Or the Browns win because Dan Orlovsky steps out of the end zone and Cleveland wins 2-0.
Oh, that's a dunk from Breach to another network.
Oh, yeah. Breach on ESPN Crime. You know who I would pick? The 2006 Chargers versus the 2007 Chargers. Phillip Rivers gets his ring. Yes. North Turner against Marty Schottenheimer. Which Rivers will get it?
Do you get a ring for a 0-0 tie though?
I hate you.
See, Brinson and I think on the same plane, which actually scares me.
Obviously, because, you're going to pick a Bengals situation.
Well, I was going to say the 2014 Bengals versus the 2013 Bengals, because then Andy Dalton will finally get a playoff win, but I'm not going to say that.
That's actually why I jumped in with the Chargers thing, because I knew you were going to go with the Bengals.
Anybody love Andy Dalton more than this moron?
His wife?
She doesn't love him that much.
I don't know. So my other answer is going to be, I think, an awesome matchup. Ryan, you with the toilet bowl route. Ryan with the, Will with the, let's get Phillip Rivers a playoff win route. I'm going to go the 2007 Patriots against the 1985 Chicago Bears.
That's a good answer.
So I feel like the Patriots win just because of the evolution of the offenses, but I don't know. I mean, what about, I like that. I'm going to double down and say the 2007 Patriots versus the 2000 Ravens? Was that the Ravens team that won it all? With that incredible defense? Like, I'm going to see how much abuse Tom Brady can take against some of the best defenses, in the history of football. So I'm down for the 85 Bears. I think that Belichick would coach circles around Mike Ditka in that perm he had back then with the mustache. And I think that Patriots defense in 07 would certainly give Trent Dilfer some trouble, but I would like to see those two defenses go up against the best offense I think we've ever seen. That offense, by the way, there's no question. Like the recent Chiefs offense isn't more high powered than that 07 team, right?
No. Yeah. That 07 team was incredible. I will take in my non Phillip Rivers answer obviously that's not the two greatest teams of all time. I think it would be really cool to see, let's say, the 87 49ers. Ooh. I'm trying to find, I want Bill Walsh against Bill Belichick is what I want. So like 07 Pats against, 87 49ers. Breach, you got pommeled by the 49ers in the 80s. Your dad did. What would be the best 49ers team to have matched up against?
I would say the best 49ers team, the 87 one did not even win the Super Bowl. But the 84 team actually played the Dolphins in the Super Bowl, went 15-1.
Let's not forget, I mean, Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls of bad Giants teams. So it's not like the Super Bowl winner is necessarily the best.
But I would say the 84 49ers is probably the best team that Walsh had.
Okay. All right. 84 it is.
Walsh versus Belichick, man.
I just want Walsh versus Belichick. I mean, that's all I want. Cause you could go with the 89 or like one of the early 90s, maybe the 94 49ers. I don't need George Seifert out there. I want Walsh. Well, Walsh and Belichick in the Super Bowl. That'd be incredible.
What would the score be if the Green Bay Packers, who won it in 67, the first Super Bowl, played the 2007 Patriots, like Belichick versus Lombardi?
500-0.
Yeah, Belichick. The Patriots would win by 7 touchdowns.
Do you think so?
Like, what? I mean, yeah, you were talking about the differences between the 85 Bears, who are like the most athletic defense for a while until the game has changed, the players changed.
What's the line? 40 years difference in football.
Oh my God.
I mean, isn't the Len Dawson smoking a cig at halftime photo from that game against that Packers team?
It may have been like from the previous week.
Tom Brady's like injecting like avocado steroids into his arm. Right. Len Dawson's chief and cig.
The line is 28.5. what are you taking?
I mean, probably the Patriots.
I'll take the Packers. I don't think Belichick's running up the score on Vince Lombardi.
Oh, he will.
Ooh.
He would 100% run the score on it. All right. So, yeah, I mean, 40 years difference in football, obviously.
And he couldn't even run up the score on Tom Coughlin. None of he's run up the score on Lombardi.
What do you think Lombardi's saying when he sees Randy Moss, 6'5", 210 pounds, out there running a 4.240? Holy Moses.
Who's like the biggest – who would have been the biggest player in the – on that team? Like, who would have been? I'm just trying to think.
I wonder if they had any. I don't even know if they had any 300 pounders. Like, Michael Davis Smith would be the guy to ask about that. He's sort of.
Are we talking? Is this 66? Is that right?
67 was this. January 67 was the Super Bowl. So the 66
right,
season.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. All right. I got this team up. The biggest player on that team.
275.
260.
All right. That's a problem.
That is definitely a problem.
So imagine, I mean, like, the fastest 40 on that team was probably like a 4.7.
Not even. It must be a bit slow.
Like a 5.1 or something like that. Imagine, who's covering Randy Moss?
Imagine the left guard at 260 walking out there and he sees.
Here's a good comp because we have Herb Adderley.
Yeah.
I don't know, is he in the Hall of Fame? He might have recently got in, actually. It's like he's in the Hall of Fame. So Herb Adderley, 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time Super Bowl champ, Hall of Fame all 1960s team, 4-time All Pro, 5-time NFL champ, and a Hall of Famer. Hell yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. He was 6 feet tall, 205 pounds, and he's their star cornerback covering Randy Moss. Have fun with that, Herb.
6 feet, 205 is actually comparable for what you see now from cornerbacks, but obviously
he ain't covering Randy Moss.
He didn't go through the combine drills.
Randy Moss is running a fly route on every single play and scoring a touchdown.
Imagine being the left guard who weighs 260 and you see Vince Wilfork over there. What are you doing?
You quit football. You don't even play the game.
I mean, like, I don't even know if they knew what a nickelback was. And like, you got Wes Welker out there just running across the middle. Like, somebody get a linebacker on this feller. Like, who's this little ant crawling across the middle?
All right. 28 and a half. So
text Prisco and see what his response would be. Very curious. I think you guys are underestimating it. I think it's a 75-point margin.
Okay.
No respect to the Packers, but like evolution is just evolution. Like,
clearly. No, that's what we're saying. I think it's a 100-point margin.
You hit it a little bit on 28 and a half, and I was like, no, it's.
What's your line, Debo?
I mean,
42? What's the 42?
Debo's putting every top shot he's got on.
60 points, yeah.
All right, so 42-point spread, you're taking the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots.
You're taking the Patriots. Ryan, a real gambling savant here. So you're taking the over if it's a 42 points.
You're taking the over on scoring more than 42 points. The difference between 42 points.
Right. Yeah. I think Prisco's going to hit you back and say, you know, the Packers keep it close.
Okay. Yeah. I have a text out to Pete, and he's like, you don't understand. Bart Starr was a gamer.
Learn the game,
you fool.
Yeah. 72 Dolphins versus, you know, last year's Chiefs. He's like, he's probably picking the Dolphins.
I love it. I like that this question got Debo all fired up enough to dive into the podcast. Okay. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll answer more mailbag questions.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, I actually got a text, not from Pete, but from my good friend Garrett, who is watching he's probably annoyed because he wants me to open this Top Shot pack so he can find out who I got in the pack. But he says he would hammer plus 28.5 and the Packers.
How about that?
He's an old soul, that Garrett. Okay. Mailbag question. Great pod. This is from Bearcat Flash. Love the pod, especially all the Super Friends banter. Miss Sean. Whatever. But it was fun hearing his Bears woes regarding Andy Dalton. My question is this. If you had to come up with a new primary sponsor for each NFL team, what would they be? Bonus points for funny puns and regional affiliations. For example, the Bears brought to you by Hyundai. The Cleveland Browns brought to you by UPS. Tennessee Titans brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken Shack. Keep up the good work. Obviously, we're not going to do the entire NFL. But if you got any ideas... Breach, I'm sure you've thought about this with the Bengals.
Well, the obvious one for the Bengals, you sign up with Frosted Flakes. Tony the Tiger becomes your mascot. You fire Hude. I'm sorry, Hude. I love you. But you get Tony the Tiger at every game. Just instead of that hot dog cannon, you have a Frosted Flake cannon just shooting out cereal to the kids. And then after every touchdown, you know, the guy who scores dumps milk in a bowl. I mean, it's brilliant. I think Kellogg needs to get on this. The Bengals need to get on this. I'll be the conduit here. I'll make it all happen. But Frosted Flakes Bengals is my first one.
I think that's probably not going to get topped by anything else. That's an incredible answer. I was going to suggest maybe let's not use real milk because milk's
almond milk
or just water that looks like milk. You don't need a giant bowl of milk sitting in the Cincinnati sun for 4 hours on a Sunday. That's going to smell.
All right. That's your, we haven't had the milk hot take of the week.
Yeah. Milk is trash. That's fine.
Big milk hot take of the week. So we're back. So there's a little Sean throwback to you. What about the Patriots? You're deemed to be evil in some segments of the football viewing population. What about Homelander from The Boys being their mascot? he comes out, just sets the field. Breach, do you watch The Boys on Amazon Prime?
Well, so instead you can
have it is.
The New England Patriots brought to you by Amazon Prime, presented by Homelander.
Yeah, because Homelander is, represents America. His little superhero suit is braced on the flag. He burns people with his laser eyes, sort of in the Superman gone wrong. And I feel like he could bring Bill Belichick into the stadium, hover him down, put him in center field or at midfield, excuse me, and then start the game that way. And then, when things start going not the Patriots' way, he can just fire up, burn a hole in the opposing team's quarterback and problem solved.
I like it. I mean, is the Panthers brought to you by like Max Speed Shop, like barbecue? Is that
the Asheboro Zoo?
That's what I was thinking too. I thought about the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro. It's actually the statewide zoo, but it is in Asheboro.
I don't even know where Asheboro is. I've been there, but I don't know.
It's south of High Point, like 45 minutes south of High Point.
Oh, okay.
There Not that anybody knows what the hell High Point is. It's about an hour and a half from Raleigh.
Furniture capital of the world.
It is the furniture capital of the world.
I also think that Samsung or Apple, one of those two companies, you buy the chargers, you change their logo to an actual phone charger, boom, everyone wins. I don't know how that hasn't been done yet.
So what does that look like, the phone charger?
Yeah, like a little, it's got the cord in the back that goes around, shaped like a lightning bolt if they want, and then the brick up front. I'm not an artist. You know that.
I mean, pretty obvious.
Have a Ryan Finley tattoo drawn.
I mean, we got to get the Raiders sponsored by some casino. I mean, how are they not already sponsored? You know what I mean? Like the Las Vegas Raiders presented by Caesars.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, what?
That's not as fun as Breach's two brilliant ideas. This is a very Breach question. I like it.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen it ahead of time. I would have prepared like I did for the candies for each quarterback. That was fun.
Okay. We did a 45-minute, like, got drunk as hell on red wine podcast on candies for all quarterback.
I need to look that up. Let's come back to this later because I want to think about these because I don't want to just.
Maybe we'll do a separate off-season podcast where we do these.
We got time.
We'll go through every single team.
More importantly, Ryan, as Ryan points out, he doesn't prepare. March Madness and the Masters may be over, but the sports calendar never sleeps. The NHL trade deadline trade deadline's over. Nobody cares about it. Nobody wants to see Blackburn talking about Russian dudes who get shipped from Carolina to Buffalo. Daily NBA, NHL, and MLB action, the RBC Heritage Tournament, NFL draft news and rumors, UEFA quarterfinals, and your home to stay in the know for all of it, CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is the only sports news streaming service that's completely free. How to watch it? Easy. It's available for free on your computer, your mobile device, or your connected TV via the CBS Sports apps. Or if you're more of a YouTube person, subscribe to CBS Sports HQ on YouTube for all the latest sports news videos on demand. Personally, I never, ever, ever miss a big sports story, big story in sports because I turn it on first thing in the morning and leave it on all day while I'm working. And I'll leave you with this. If you're a sports news junkie like me, no sports network is faster with breaking news than CBS Sports HQ. All right. 10 out of 10 show from Scotland. Hell yeah. Thanks, Scotland. I love international listeners. Duncan McCall.
Nice. Great name.
Yep, that is a fantastic name. Hey, guys, appreciate all you're doing from Scotland. You've helped me from first watching the sport and knowing almost nothing about it 4 to 5 years ago to knowing ever so slightly more about it now. Yeah, that's what we do. Who do you think will be a better player over the next 10 years out of Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts? Spicy. The question partially due to interest and partially due to who should I take at 1-4 in my Superflex Dynasty League? Wilson, a Superflex League typically involves playing two quarterbacks. So that means that Trevor Lawrence will be the first guy taken. Presumably Fields will be next, I guess. And then, maybe Mac Jones. Well, it's three quarterbacks are going to be, this guy's going to pass on a quarterback and take one of those guys. Who should he take?
So I'm trying to think of comps. So Darren Waller or Julio Jones. Like, who are you taking?
Julio Jones, but,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe scale the wide receiver back a little bit. Like, do you think is Ja'Marr Chase that good?
Yeah, I was trying to do like Darren Waller. Like, okay, so, Travis Kelce / George Kittle or Julio Jones, like whoever the top receiving tight end is in your mind.
I mean, for me, I think a lot of it, I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but a lot of it is where they're going to go. So if Ja'Marr Chase went to the Bengals, I might take him over. If it's Kyle Pitts to the Falcons at 4, Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals at 5, which is how I think it's going to play out.
That's a lot of production for both those guys.
Yeah. I mean, you're both competing with two other very viable targets.
Is Travis Kelce and so is Julio Jones.
Right. But I'm saying that so like Kyle Pitts would have to deal with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst, I suppose, for one more year.
I just realized I've been saying Amari Cooper is the other wide receiver for Julio Jones in Atlanta when I've been talking about Kyle Pitts.
Oh, nice. Good for you. This guy, he's just a draft guy. He doesn't know the league
just,
at all.
He was just moron. That's the worst, by the way, when you realize in the moment, like, oh God.
So I think that like you're going to get 2 years of Kyle Pitts with Matt Ryan. You have an offensive coach in place that they're going to be patient with him. Pitts is, if you asked most people around the league, you pick one guy out of this draft class who's definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. I think Pitts would be the pick of a lot of people just because the quarterbacks are so risky. Maybe you say non-quarterback and he's the easy choice. So I'm going to take Pitts because of tight end scarcity, but the idea of Ja'Marr Chase like teaming back up with Joe Burrow is very, very enticing.
Here's the thing I say quickly, then you can go ahead, Breach. In terms of like last year, Chase Young was a slam dunk as a pick you can make and feel great about it. That's Kyle Pitts for me this year. So yeah, I like him slightly more than Ja'Marr Chase, but I love Ja'Marr Chase too.
I would go Chase here, not because he might end up with the Bengals and put up huge numbers with Joe Burrow, even though that would be a reason I would pick him. But I like Chase here just if you look at tight end production versus receiver production. Like Chase doesn't have to be the best receiver. If he's a top 15 receiver, you know, you're going to put up 80 receptions. There were 19 receivers in the NFL last year that had 80 or more receptions. There were two tight ends that had 80 or more receptions. So it's just a matter of Pitts is going to have to automatically beat Travis Kelce or Darren Waller out of the gate in his rookie year, which doesn't seem possible. You know, like you guys said, if he's playing for Julio Jones, he's going to lose some targets. Even if he has a fantastic season for a tight end, that's like 75 catches, 7 touchdowns, and you're one of the top tight ends in the league. If Chase has an average season, that's as good as, you know, a way above average tight end season. So I just think that Chase will see more targets, have more opportunities, and because of that, will have a bigger year, maybe next 4 to 5 years, I would say. So I'll say Chase.
I might trust the Falcons not to screw up Pitts more than I trust the Bengals not to screw up Chase.
How dare you, sir? How
dare you? I mean, that's, I'm dead serious. Yeah, I would take, if you, and it also depends on, you know, what your roster looks like. If, you know, if you're sitting there with like a tight end who's not that great, Ollie S makes this point in the chat that if you have decent receivers on your team, then get the tight end. And like Kelsey's getting older, you know, I mean, like the tight end is thin, man.
One thing I'll say about the Bengals though, in their defense, is they have actually done a pretty good job of drafting receivers minus John Ross, but you know, we're talking about a solid track record where one guy hurts you, but you know, they had Mohamed Sanu, AJ Green. You go all the way back that far. If you want to look at more recently,
T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd.
Exactly. Auden Tate. So there have been some really good productive receivers and they haven't even all been in the first round. So when you bring in a guaranteed star or a guy who should be a star like Jamar Chase, I think he'll be able to produce a lot in the Bengals offense.
This is what grasping at straws looks like, by the way.
What? Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones, this guy who didn't do anything until he left.
He had a huge career in Cincinnati.
I like Marvin Jones, but Breach, the Bengals have stunk for quite some time, and you're talking about they can draft wide receivers. That's great.
I do think it's actually interesting what the Bengals will do in the draft, because Marvin Jones had 860. What are you talking about?
He was good. No, he was good for Cincinnati.
He has 10 receiving touchdowns in his second year.
And 712 receiving yards. I mean, all right. Okay.
He had AJ Green in his prime. Marvin Jones wasn't the number one receiver. If you got a number two receiver putting up 712 yards and 10 touchdowns, you're happy.
Breach has been waiting his whole life to make this argument.
Hope Marvin Jones is listening.
This is like have you seen that drill tweet? Like, you know, drill, it's like the guy who like just does the meme tweets, but it's like his tweet's like, I'm not owned. I'm not owned. I continue to insist as I slowly shrink and transform into a corn cob. That's Breach. He's like, no, the Bengals are great. The Bengals are great. I think that I would say this too. Let's say Jamar Chase doesn't go to the Bengals and ends up with the Dolphins. 100% taking Kyle Pitts then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
The only selling point for Cincinnati is Joe Burrow. They see
what if Jamar Chase goes to the Lions and Jared Goff?
Well, I was about to say,
smash Kyle Pitts.
If you're Jamar Chase looking at, so you see the Falcons and say that the Falcons take Kyle Pitts and you're Jamar Chase looking at the rest of the board. I mean, 5 through 9, the Bengals are probably the team you want to play for.
Yeah.
Just the way they run their offense.
They have the guy who he played with and he had 1800 yards the last time he saw him on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the team you want to play for. All right. This is from Ollie. I don't know if it's Ollie. Huh. Okay.
Prince Ollie.
No, I don't know. We have an Ollie in the chat. I don't know if it's the same one, but whatever. Hey, Wilson.
Yeah. He sent me an email. Just so that's where that came from. Yeah.
This may be the Ollie S. I don't know. Longtime fan from the UK here. I'm curious, following the announcement that my Falcons are going to get to play a home game in London this coming season, how would you guys feel about a team, i.e. the Jaguars, being permanently based over here as an international franchise? Could you see it working? If so, which franchise would it be? Love listening to the Pick Six Pod. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Ollie.
So I sent this to Debo because I knew that this is right in Breach's wheelhouse because he knows all things international. So Breach, you can have the floor.
Well, I'll just say real quick, I think JLC actually wrote a good story on the possibility of a team moving to London a couple years ago. And the big logistical problem is the postseason. So like it works fine in the regular season, but once you get to the playoffs, if this London team is hosting games, you have to figure out how, the Rams or the Chargers, if they have to play in London, they have to fly 10 and a half hours. And what if it's a short week? What if they're playing Sunday to Saturday? You're spending half a day on a plane, changing time zones, figuring out where to practice. And so that is the big hiccup. If they can somehow figure out a way to make that fair, maybe the London team plays their playoff games in the United States. Like if it's Jacksonville, you play 6 home games in London, 2 in Jacksonville, and then any postseason games in Jacksonville. So I just don't see how, unless we reintroduce that supersonic flight that takes like 4 hours to get to London, I don't see the playoffs being fair.
By the way, that is Ollie in the chat. We got multiple Brits in the chat, according to George Maddox. What a great Brit name that is. Real UK flair to the podcast today. I would say something in a British accent, but you don't want to hear it.
No, I don't.
Look, anything is possible, I suppose, but, and the NFL will probably make it happen, just like they're ram jamming this 17 game season down our throats, and we'll ram jam a 18 game season down our throats in a couple of years. So we'll probably get a full-time London team there. I think it would be really tough for the actual, like, churn of an NFL season and an NFL roster in particular when it comes to, like, you know, you bring players in for tryouts during the season all the time. I mean, that, you know, the transportation, the price, the cost, like all of that is a wildly different ecosystem.
Flying to London for a 3-hour tryout and then fly home.
Like, you're a kicker. They're like, hey, we gotta bring, like, but when you do these trials, like, let's say somebody's kicker gets hurt midseason, you have to bring in like 8 kickers. So you gotta fly 8 dudes over to London, and that becomes a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, I agree. I think, the NFL has seen logistical hurdles before and had no issue forcing teams to clear those hurdles. So I don't think that would be a inevitable stumbling block, but it wouldn't be sort of ideal.
I will say that if you had asked me 2 years ago, I would have thought a team was going to be in London soon, by 2030. But just because of the way the international thing is going right now, where now NFL is looking to play games in Germany as soon as 2022. And now it looks like they're more focused on broadening their international horizon rather than putting a bunch of games in one city. So one might only see 2 games going forward each year instead of 4.
I also think that COVID is maybe slowing down the expansion of, like, I mean, what if there was a London team that was operating during the 2020 season? It couldn't have worked. They would have had, I mean, the Raptors moved to Tampa or something, right?
Well, I mean, they did play the English Premier League season, so it could.
Yeah, but they weren't flying back and forth from America to London.
No, that's right.
Like, you couldn't cross international.
Europe wasn't, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, they literally moved the Raptors out of Canada to, down to Florida somewhere.
Hey, you meet in the middle of Atlantic, you play on an aircraft carrier, problem solved.
On a cruise ship.
They did that with Carolina and Michigan State one time.
Yeah, that used to be a thing.
Yeah, that was weird. Can Dennis, Mike ask, I guess on Twitter, question, and Ollie says in the chat, by the way, a Super Bowl over here would be nice. That is happening. The NFL will have a Super Bowl in London.
Thanks, so?
Time difference makes it interesting.
They'll figure
if you want to put it in prime time at like 6 o'clock Eastern, that's like
11.
2 a.m. kickoff or midnight kickoff in London. No,
sounds amazing. Yeah. You get wasted and go to the Super Bowl at midnight in London? It sounds fantastic.
I'll cover that. I volunteer to cover it.
Yeah, I'll cover it too. Question for the at Pick Six Pod. Which 3 teams would benefit the most and which 3 teams would get screwed if the NFL were organized by geographical region, i.e. Rams, Chargers, Niners, Seattle, Arizona, Las Vegas, Denver, KC? Well, right there, the Cardinals, because they would have to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year. They would get screwed.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how we're doing it. Are we doing this like north to south geographically? Is that how we're going to do it?
I think you're just clustering them. I don't know.
Because here, I'll show you what I'm looking at in terms of north to south, and this sort of helps.
I just put a map in Slack so you guys.
My map's
Wilson
better.
Did it. Your map is horrible.
So either way, but I think that's a trash
map.
So let's say that let's make 5 teams a division just for the sake of climate.
No, it's got to be 4 teams. You got to keep. How it is, Ryan. You can't just invent things.
But then what happens in the central mountain zone there?
That's what you have to figure out.
Man, not catching a break. All right. So knowing that, following Breach's rules, I'm going to put them in the same division as the Chiefs, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and as the Green Bay Packers. Good luck, Bengals.
Wait, what? That's a horrible division.
All right. So like here's an example of one, like the Florida division, or basically, you know, like the Atlanta Falcons, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Miami Dolphins would all be a division, right?
Wait, yes. I agree with that.
What was the first team?
Atlanta.
Falcons? Oh,
Atlanta. Yeah. That's right.
So, I mean, in that case, if you're, if we're operating under current rosters, the Buccaneers benefit in a big way because they get to swap out, Carolina and the Saints for the Dolphins and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And I realize that the Jaguars are up and coming and have Trevor Lawrence, but they're still the Jaguars.
Not yet.
Well, I think your biggest problem becomes you only have 7 teams that are in the mountain time zone or further west. And so you put four of them in one division. That makes it easy to pick any of the four Pacific time zone teams. But then you only have three. So then you have to pick a fourth team from the central or eastern time zone to be lumped in out in this western division. And so that team is going to be screwed over.
All those teams are lobbying not to let it be the Chiefs, by the way. Like they're going to say, let's
take, we don't want the Chiefs. Yeah, exactly.
No, the Chiefs, send the Chiefs to Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll take the Vikings.
So let me ask you this. In this situation, I believe this is correct. Do the NFC North and the AFC East remain the same?
Well, let's mix them up just for the sake of.
No. Let's make it easier.
Wait, the NFC North?
Yeah.
Probably keep it the same. You could put the Colts in there, but I think you could keep it the same.
I think you would keep it the same and go Browns, Colts, Bengals, Titans.
But the thing is, the Vikings could end up going west, in which case it would be Packers, Chiefs, Colts, Lions.
You know what? All right. Let's table this and come back and make it like a separate pod too, because this is a long discussion.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we each need to actually like carve up the divisions and decide on how we're going to carve them up. Clearly, we didn't prepare for this podcast.
I
mean,
what I will do, Breach actually probably has a spreadsheet, but we'll just do we should do like the closest distances, the four, like you find the geographical area that the four teams fit in, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. So what we got, two off-season podcasts. These are great questions, by the way. Fantastic questions. We'll build these out into a little bit longer. In fact, we are almost at an hour now. So I'm going to assume that Debo would love me to push back these other two questions from a Canadian listener and one about bourbon. We'll push those back to next week. Was there a question in chat that somebody asked that I said I was going to come back to? I'm all over the place today.
Someone in chat did say that the 49ers should be sponsored by Square because it's a square number.
That's a good one.
Pretty brilliant.
All right. So this question from YouTube says, from Arctic Suresh says, if you could choose three players to commit a treasure heist, who would it be? Mine would be Tom Brady, Aaron Donald, and Tyreek Hill.
Why Tom Brady?
He's probably the brains behind the operation. You need the old guy who, you like the hacker in the car.
He's like George Clooney in Ocean's 11.
I think
I would go Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and Bernie Mac. That's not Ocean's 11.
Hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, Tyreek Hill is a good one.
Yeah. So you want Braun to knock the door down or whatever. That Aaron Donald seems like a great pick. Tyreek Hill, I mean, he's the getaway car basically for sort of turning these guys into superheroes.
Yeah. You steal the treasure, hand it to Tyreek Hill, and he just takes off with it.
I'm taking Ryan Fitzpatrick. The guy went to Harvard, and he's going to come up with the whole entire plan. I don't have to do anything, and I'm just going to let him supervise.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick, I actually like that. He will take chances. Tom Brady's going to be the most – he'll check down everything. Like, everything will be a check down.
We're only
stealing half the money. We only have 10 minutes until the alarm goes off, but we have to be out in 5 minutes. Fitzpatrick's like, we're staying until 9:59.
We're throwing bombs, baby. We're throwing bombs. Yeah, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think Aaron Donald and Tyreek Hill, I don't know who else would be
– I'll throw J.J. Watt out there.
J.J. Watt is another.
J.J. Watt like rappelling down a line into the room and like knocking over a security guard? I could see J.J. Watt dressing up in like a black, you know, all black like Tom Cruise style Mission Impossible outfit.
Where does Andy Dalton fit into this?
Andy Dalton's a security guard who gets knocked out.
I was going to say, he's the guy you shoot first, the very first scene. Yeah.
But you're a lookout guy.
No. Andy Dalton is the guy. He's like when Tyreek Hill comes sprinting out of the museum with the treasure and he's Andy Dalton's driving the Hyundai. And like, that's what Tyreek Hill steals from him and then drives away in the Hyundai.
That's my car.
Your lookout guy is definitely a kicker because they just sit around at practice and watch stuff all day. You gotta have a lookout guy.
So Breach's list is Jim Breach, Andy Dalton, and in his prime, AJ Green.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And Joe Burrow. It's like Breach's leg's broken. That's fine! Cam Newton would be a decent option.
Yeah, again, this is something that we probably should have thought about. There are a lot of choices. I'm going with...
Well, this was posed in the chat.
Oh, good. Yep. So yeah, I like that one.
Okay. Maybe we'll circle back on that one too. That's a good one. That's a good question. We will take any and all questions, of course. Now we're going to wrap up the podcast, but the live show is not going to end. We are going to open up the Top Shot pack that I got. You're sticking around to hear this, to watch this, Wilson.
All right, got a hard out in 12 minutes.
Can we? Oh, Debo, you know what?
Share the screen.
Let's share the screen. All right, I'm going to have to log in. So that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't leave. If you're watching on YouTube, we're about to open up this thing.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.